Tomorrow morning, we will witness what space nerds are calling one of the greatest moments in space history. NASA's Perseverance Mars rover will make a nail-biting 7-second entry into the planet's thin atmosphere to begin a search for rocks, water, life after travelling to the red planet atop an Atlas V rocket launched from Cape Canaveral last July. Exciting and heavy with geopolitical weight as well. Dr. Cassandra Steer is a space lawyer at the Australian National University. I asked her why this is such a hard mission.
What's particularly challenging about this landing is trying to land in the particular crater that they've identified as the area that they want to be able to investigate with this rover. So the challenges of entering the orbit and then entering the atmosphere at exactly the right speed and altitude and all of this, and then getting it into that crater. Later on, it's going to release a helicopter, essentially a drone, which is a first to explore Mars's atmosphere and Mars's terrain. With more ability to go further distance than a rover on tracks can do.
And we're going to be able to see this, aren't we? I understand there's going to be video and sound as this landing happens.
It's pretty exciting. I mean, that's what makes it so exciting in terms of space history, is our ability to see what's happening far away in our solar system. There's some great images already available from the Chinese orbiter. It's called the Tianwen-1, the Questions to Heaven. It's already in orbit around Mars, and its camera on board has been capturing some really fascinating images. You can see the craters, you can see the surface of the planet. So the technology that we have today is changing our ability, all of us, to experience some of this human exploration.
And the aim is to get hold of some rocks and to bring them back to Earth. I gather that's going to take quite some time to advance our understanding of water on Mars. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, all of this is based on investigating the possibility of future human habitation on Mars. Space geologists who are able to analyze those rock samples and learn more about the surface, the history of the planet, the potential for finding water. So we won't get those samples back for another sort of 8 to 12 months. But what we'll be able to learn out of all of this from the visuals as well as from those actual physical samples is going to be fascinating.
Now, all of that sort of technology and the geology and the prospect of looking, you know, millions of years back in time on Mars is pretty exciting. But as you say, there's the Chinese mission that's on Mars at the moment. Also, there's one from the United Arab Emirates, the first mission to Mars from the Arab world. This is a pretty extraordinary conjunction of events. First of all, how did they all come to be there at the same time, essentially?
Well, I mean, that has to do with the window of opportunity last year when they all launched in July. Because of our alignment with Mars, it was a lot easier for them to get to Mars. It was an easier launch and a shorter journey to make. But there's also something quite interesting in terms of the geopolitics behind this. So it's really exciting that an Arab nation has now built a space program quite rapidly and successfully and has now got its own mission orbiting Mars to learn about the atmosphere. There is actually a bit of a race to get to Mars and to learn about Mars and to be able to stake a bit of a claim, though we can't, under the Outer Space Treaty, we can't claim sovereignty in space or on planets. But if you can stake a claim in terms of technological superiority or perhaps being able to protect an area that you already have landed on and say others can't come near us, even other robotic landings can't come near us because we need to protect it for safety reasons, then there is a bit of a real estate grab going on.
And what about the prospect of the further militarisation of space? I mean, nobody wants to see war in space, but it is a reality, isn't it, that space has already been militarised?
A lot of today's terrestrial warfare, conflict on Earth, is supported by space systems. And so space has become a very important strategic domain for militaries. At the same time, the 1967 Outer Space Treaty, which is like our constitution for space, guarantees that the moon and celestial bodies like Mars must be used for exclusive peaceful purposes. And so we can't build things like military bases on the moon or on Mars. Freedom of access to space is guaranteed. Scientific investigation is guaranteed. But military purposes are a little bit limited. But those are the kind of tensions that we're going to see continuing to rise in the next few years.
Cassandra Steer, thank you very much for joining us today.
Great speaking with you again, Linda.
Dr. Cassandra Steer from the ANU. Good luck, Perseverance.